This podcast was produced by ORFM Dunedin with support from New Zealand On the Air.
Otago Access Radio, in partnership with Otago Polytech, brings you Blowing Bubbles. Blowing Bubbles brings you positive conversations with people in their bubbles around the world. How are people living their bubble lives? Working from home, keeping kids entertained, and staying connected and getting exercise. And how are these things presenting us with the opportunities to find new ways of living? Every weekday, the Sustainable Lens team of Samuel Mann, Shan Gallagher, and Mara Karatai reach out from their bubbles to chat with interesting and positive people around the world. Broadcast on Otago Access Radio 105.4 FM and streamed and podcast on oar.org.nz and sustainablelens.org, bringing connection, joy, kindness and peace in the days ahead.
Welcome to Blowing Bubbles, positive conversations with people in their bubbles, their safe spaces around the world. I'm Samuel Mann in Sawyers Bay, Dunedin, and I am joined from Whakatane by Mawera Karatai. Kia ora, Mawera.
Kia ora, Sam. How's it going?
It's going very well indeed. This is our first actual conversation of 2024.
It is too. And my year has got off to a good start. Here's yours.
It sort of has. The I brought COVID back from India, and so that disrupted Christmas quite a lot. I successfully managed to avoid giving it to too much of the family, but enough of it to get in the way of Christmas. So we had a Christmas celebration in the new year, so that was nice.
Oh, that's nice though, eh? It's kind of nice to, once, you know, all the shops are back open and you can get all the things you need and all the hustle and bustle of life.
And it's quite good, the academic holidays being semi-flexible, particularly for people looking after people that never stop, but it also means that you can move a holiday if you desperately need to. So we're going camping today.
Oh, that's exciting. Where are you going?
We're going to Glenorchy. The plan for the holiday is somewhere that I can go for a walk every day and Leslie can sit in the tent or by the tent and read books. So my plan is to do all the walks, like the Earnslaw, the Rockburn, some of them longish days, but all just day walks.
That sounds incredible. I can't wait to hear about that when you get back.
Indeed. And who are we introducing today?
Today, Sam, we're introducing my actual favourite person on the entire planet.
Oh, it's me!
All right, my second favourite person. Oh, sorry, Jack. My actual favourite, first equal favourite person on the planet, my son, Jack Karatai Barrett. Welcome, Jack. Thanks for joining us today.
Yep.
Welcome, Jack. So, Jack, how has your year started?
Good. I mean, over the New Year's, I was doing a Duke of Edinburgh Silver Walk at Mount Ruapehu. Yeah, we were tramping for a week long and yeah, it was really good.
So you were tramping for a whole week, not just like I'm talking about doing day walks?
Oh, we had 2 days off, but that's because the track that we were going on, the river got a bit too high and it was too unsafe to cross. There was a bigger one after it, so we didn't want to take the risk.
Oh, and were you tenting?
And hunting for a couple of days as well.
Oh, and was that the... Can you do a loop?
No, we just did a whole bunch of jumbled up walks. Ended up being around 70 kilometres.
Wow. And so you're doing the Duke of Edinburgh. Did you have to do a week's walk for that? Was that part of the rules?
You only have to do 2 nights and 3 days, but I got to go into Lava Camp, which is a special program for Duke of Edinburgh.
Lava Camp?
Yeah, with the leader, Jerry Purcell. He's a guy that does Duke of Edinburgh around the Bay of Plenty.
Cool. Yeah. So what else are you doing for the Duke of Edinburgh?
So we have to do 3 different things. A new skill, volunteering, and physical education. So for my bronze, I'm on silver now, For my bronze, we had to do 3 months of all of those three. And what I did was mountain biking, pest control. Oh, no, did I do pest control?
No, that was for your William Pike.
Oh, that was for my William Pike.
No, you did gardening for your new skill.
Yeah, I did gardening for my new skill and waste zero for my volunteering.
And then for your silver, you're doing different things.
Yeah, for my silver, I'm doing still mountain biking, but for my new skill, I'm learning teal. And I'm doing
still
waste zero.
Yep. And writing, and also you're writing too.
Yeah, I write articles for the local paper.
There is so much that we can talk about, but let's start with the first of your music choices. We're going for Neil Young, Old Man from a Young Man. Why this one?
I think it's a really good song. People have lots of different music tastes to me. I like old songs. 80s, 90s, 70s, even 60s for some reason.
Old man, look at my life. I'm a lot like you were. Old man, look at my life. I'm a lot like you. Old man, look at my life. 24 and there's so much more. Live alone in a paradise that makes me think of two. Love lost, such a cost. Give me things that don't get lost, like a coin that won't get tossed, rolling home to you.
Jack, you were telling us about walking around Mount Rupehu. How did the walk go? 70 Ks?
Yep, 70 Ks all up. Yeah, it was actually really awesome. We did a couple of the Great Walks tracks, so they're the super highways of tramping compared to what we usually do, where it's bush bashing and old tracks that were used hundreds of years ago. Yeah, so we have to do our own safety. So we set up a sheet of our emergency responses, all of our information. We do route cards, so we go on the map and we use a compass and we write down all the little details about how we're going to get there, what we're going to do, and how to navigate. And we have to do all of our own navigation all on our own. And for our walks, we had two gold participants instead of our usual leader, Jerry, because the golds are doing their, what's it called?
Their service, their residential week.
Week of service. So that's only a gold thing. What they do is they go do like a camp of some kind, which that's why Lava Camp's perfect, because pretty much just a week of camping, but in a massive ski lodge. And yeah. But the walk was really good, actually. It was not only the Great Walks, though. We had to do some of the other tracks. But the huts we went to, Waihohunu and, geez, what's the other one? I can't remember the other one, actually. I have to come back to that. But yeah.
And this was just you and people your age in a small group?
Yeah, we have a group of four people in silver, bronze, and gold. I'm doing silver now, so I've got 6 months of each. And, of course, I've got training. So we do a day or two of training. We set up tents. We get cooker safety, how to tie knots, the basic sort of thing. And then after that, we have a practice journey, which is 2 days, one night. And last, we have our adventurous journey, which is two nights, 3 days. And for gold, which is a lot more difficult, I think it's 4 days, 3 nights.
Yeah,
it is. We have to pack our own packs and get everything sorted ourselves. We have to be fully independent, and we get marked on that.
Cool. And so then the new skill, last for the bronze, you did gardening. Cool. And I've seen pictures of your garden. It is fabulous. You do have the advantage of living on, I think it's a silt loam, isn't it? And stunning growing conditions.
Yeah. And a professional gardener.
I don't know if I'm a professional gardener.
Oh, I'd say so.
But we do a good job together, Jack and I.
Yeah.
I see that you've just developed the last bit of your garden. What are you going to do next?
Rest. That's the best thing. I'm sure Mum will find something else to do somewhere.
Well, that's the trouble with gardens, though, is that you don't get to rest. If you ignore them for a few weeks, they turn into an enormous pile of weeds.
Our friend Andrew Isles came over and brought us a new hen and her six little babies yesterday to add to our chook house. And he goes, Ma, I'm looking around and I'm seeing a lot of potential garden space yet to be filled. I felt very happy about that.
Was he looking at the roof?
I think so, actually.
There's still some greenery.
Is there some lawn left?
Yeah, there's still some grass.
Mum's going to weed mat the entire lawn.
So your new skill this time is to row?
So what I do for that is I do Māori Made Easy at home, which is a audio book that you can do. And it's probably the best way to learn to speak Māori. It's actually amazing how well it's helped me. And another thing I do is look at karakia and learn new karakia and waiata at home with Mum. Mum actually likes it a lot, so I keep on doing it with her. And, of course, for my new skill, I just do lots of biking. It's not really, oh, sorry, new skill, physical. I just do lots of biking. It's probably the easiest one ever because I do lots of biking anyways. And then for my volunteering, I just kept on going with Waste Zero because that's what I've been doing since I started my William Pike Award.
At intermediate?
Yeah, an intermediate. I'm at year 10 now.
What is Waste Zero?
Waste Zero, so it's a community group in Whakatane. We have a stand at our Sunday market where we take in people's batteries that need to be recycled. But some people, of course, don't know that that's a thing, so I spread information through my articles in the local paper, and I talk about recycling and where you can take stuff, what you can do with it, all of that. And people come to me and they're like, oh, I saw you in the paper, how nice. And then they bring a big 55 kilo box of batteries.
So how many articles have you written?
I think I did my 7th today, eh?
Yep.
What's that about?
It was about my experience on Ruapehu and how much waste there is up there. Yeah.
Tell me more.
Well, I mean, what did I even like?
There was just so much rubbish.
Eh? Yeah.
Bags and bags
I mean, we found bags of it. We brought these little bread bags because our leader told us that there'd be a bit of rubbish. We took 5, not expecting there to be that much. But in the first day, we filled up 2. And then throughout the next couple, we filled up 5 more. And it's crazy that even on the Great Walks, where hundreds or even thousands of people are going through each day, there'll be just rubbish everywhere. I even found a cracked egg just sitting on the track.
A raw cracked hen's egg. What?
Yeah.
That's odd.
I know. Wasn't even boiled or anything.
But it's just so good. It's good for him. What the Duke of Edinburgh program has done is it's given him a different lens. He sees the world differently, participates in the world in a different way, because it's given him a platform to talk about the things that matter to him. And as a young man, 14 years old, he's got his activist voice already. It's kind of cool, isn't it, that you get to actually be taken seriously and a legitimate expert in your space already at 14.
Yeah, it is pretty cool.
Sam, one of the things Jack wouldn't have told you before, and I'll tell you because I'm a super proud mum, was at the end of last year, because of his, he's used his developing his skill and chosen his reo Māori to develop using that time. He was awarded top student for Māori at Whakatane High School. Top year 9 Māori speaker, which is amazing. And it's because of his, but he's not very good at telling people how good he is doing at things. So I'll tell you, so that was a real, proud moment. And I just thought, you know, that's the power of programs like the Duke of Edinburgh program, where they get our kids just participating in the world off device, away from screens, and actually just out doing real stuff.
Bubble Sprite of the Forest of Orakanui, Dunedin's favourite goddess, Tahu Mackenzie.
Kia ora koutou, ngā mihi aroha nui kia koutou, ko tāua hou. I hope you're all having the best day, beautiful superstars in your beloved universes. And I really hope, wherever you are and whatever's happening around you, this journey that we're all on together is proving to be very rewarding, very sustaining, and illuminating for you more and more each day. Who you are, a triumph of nature's art, perfect, unique, and here, making things better. Thank you. Now, I know that for us all, of course, we are constantly doing our best, and we are forever exploring and adventuring together as one and as individuals towards the new, and of course returning to the old. We are constantly moving between these different knowledge groups and ways of perceiving the world. We're constantly learning from those who came before and those who await us in the future, and how lucky we are to be right here, right now, together. I really feel 2024 is a beautiful, beautiful new beginning for us all. 2024, time to love you more. This is a real opportunity for us, I feel, in 2024 to reap the rewards of our great hard work and determination and tenacity and power and strength and courage. That here we are, and we have survived, we've made it through this very devastating and frightening global pandemic, and we have managed to navigate this as a species, which is very impressive. And I know that for myself, and I think for many people, 2023 was a year of recovery. And I think 2024, we're coming more and more out into the light now, and more into the sun, and more into a space of hope and renewal. And we have replenished many of our completely exhausted energy stores, and we are now feeling more ready to experience what life has to offer for us. How beautiful. I'm talking to you now, I'm gazing out my window, and I'm very lucky I live up high, and so I get to look out my window and see these beautiful hillsides, see this beautiful sky, see these beautiful houses that people have built, and hear the birds singing from the homes that they have built, and hear the cicada singing from the homes that they have built, and gaze upon the golden shining wood from which my house was built, but of course was once a tree. And you know, I feel so fortunate to be here in the light and the sunset with all these other lives, all these other creations. I feel very fortunate. And of course, being part of the show is a huge pleasure and privilege. So a huge thank you to Sam and the whole Blowing Bubbles team. And I really hope for you, as we are embarking on a new year, you're able to really give yourself the time, the space, the care, the compassion to let go of any baggage from others, from yourself, from the past, to let it go and to allow yourself to step unhindered and unburdened into this present moment. I know for myself, I feel that, you know, after 37 years of being here, very fortunately, I am finally realizing that it's my job to focus on my life, and it's other people's job to focus on their life. And this is a wonderful, wonderful thing. And in boundarying myself, which is the only boundaries I can make, I have found great pleasure and appreciation and connection with my own life and my own experience. So I hope that for you in this new year, there are some helpful realizations occurring, that you're able to be enjoying time with your beautiful whānau and friends, and appreciating who you are and how beautiful it is that you're here to share your gifts with the world. And I look forward to talking to you again soon. Thanks so much. Ka kite.
You're listening to Blowing Bubbles. We're talking with Jack Karatai. Jack, I think the last time we spoke, probably not on air, you were just getting ready to go to Christchurch. What was that about?
Oh, yep. That would be my William Pike Award. Was it?
No, that was your Aquabots.
Oh, I had two different Christchurch experiences, that's right. Oh, wow. For my Aquabots, yeah, a team, me, a kid called Logan, and a kid called Braden, we were in a local competition. We were just messing around. It was our first time trying it out. And our school, Whakatane High School teams, got first, second, and third in the Aquabots against all of the other high schools. And suddenly they're like, great, you're going to Christchurch. And Mum's like, okay, so who's funding it? And they're like, you. So Mum sorts out $15,000 worth of funding for us. And we hop on a plane and we all go flying over there, and We got to stay in the halls of residence at the University of Canterbury. That was a really awesome experience. It was really cool because we even got a free breakfast and dinner and dessert every single night. That was like the best bit of it. And yeah, so for the actual competition, we showed up with our bots.
Hang on, you need to back up. You need to back up a little bit and tell us what aquabots are.
Oh yeah, I forgot about that. Aquabots, they're small robots that you can build that you drive underwater, and you have to make them complete certain tasks. So you drive them around, make them go through obstacle courses, pick up plastic pipes and do lots of stuff like that. And yeah, it was our first time building one, so it was a bit stressful saying, oh yeah, you're going to crash it. So we had to quickly add some new mods. We learned about refraction, Newton's third law and all that, hocus pocus. And we painted our entire bot red and put on a whole bunch of new features that we can easily take off. And we had to keep it in a budget of $20. So we used scrap metal, neodymium magnets that we found on a sketchy website, eh?
Yeah.
Yeah, our teacher, Mr. McFarlane, he's a legend, found them on the sketchy website, and they worked really, really well compared to some of the other ones we used, because we got a free microwave from Crew and another one off Facebook Marketplace, and we took the entire thing apart and screwed the whole thing. Then, using a saw, we cut through the battery, I think it was, and on the inside of it, there were electromagnets. We took those out and we were testing those to see how good they would be, and turns out they didn't work as well as we were hoping. So we decided to just go with the neodymium.
What were the magnets for?
They're for grabbing metal things underwater. So there's these little containers with bottle lids in them, and one of the containers has something that you want. I can't remember what it was. What was it? Like, it was something underwater.
It was called scallop hunting, and you had to go collect, there's like these little soap dishes, and one of them had something substantially metal, and you had to go over every single one inside a metal frame.
Yeah.
And not get stuck on the frame.
That was pretty annoying.
So were you remote controlling these things? Was it remote control?
Yeah, little remote control. I don't have a console or anything, so it was a bit weird trying to get used to it. So I'll just say this now. We showed up, we had our first little try, and then suddenly, oh no, we're like in the competition already. So we run over to our first course, and it's an obstacle course. Put the bot in the water to make sure it's actually going, hooked it up to the battery, and suddenly the whole thing fell apart because one of my mates didn't put it back together. And in our 10 minutes that we had, we quickly put it back together, put it back into the water, and then still got third for the entire tournament.
Well,
in just that course alone. All the other courses were pretty interesting as well. There was a surprise event that we didn't get to hear about until like the day. So they put a camera onto the bot and a little light, and you had to look at the camera on a little tablet screen and look at letters that were at the bottom of the pool, so you had to keep it perfectly idled and then write them down. It's like little symbols and stuff that you write down. And yeah, we did pretty well on that. We had a good team from Rotorua. Yep. And we got a really happy email from the lady that was bringing them there to mum. And she was like, oh my God, the kids are so nice. It's so lovely. They were so nice to our boys. How nice.
She wrote this amazing letter. Actually, she sent it to our principal.
It was like an essay.
It was huge. And it was so nice because she was talking about the impact of three rangatahi Māori boys in the STEM space on the side of this pool, shaking hands, being respectful, being just everything that you want in good role models, and these guys were good role models for her, for her kids that she had there. So it was real nice, actually. Made me very proud.
Yeah. Oh yeah, and our bot also stood out quite a bit because we had our school logo on it. We had to carve it out on a piece of, I didn't even know what it was. It was like some sticky stuff. And we got like a little nail and we just carved it out on a metal plate and put it on the front. And some other people showed up with their like fully, okay, so you have to keep your bot in the specific measurements, the specific original stock model on your first year. On the second year, you can do whatever you want with it. So you can make it from like that big to that big. So like tiny as. And you have to have three motors. You can't change the motors. And it's the same three motors no matter what. And we had quite a big problem with ours. The propellers kept on falling off since they're not very high quality. And that's what we were given. And we just had to make do with it. And somehow by the end of the competition, we ended up getting fourth for the entire place. And
out of 60 teams.
And we think the scoring was broken because our friends did like, they got third, we got fourth. They did worse than we did on every single thing. And we did a way better presentation. I'm not bragging at all. I'm just saying that. Oh, yeah, the presentation was pretty good, eh, Mum?
That was really good.
Yeah. Mum was like, oh, my gosh, Jack, you're so awesome. I'm going to buy you a Sprite from the vending machine. And that was my reward. It was a pretty good reward. And
what did you have to present about?
Oh, we had to talk about our bot, and I did my pepeha and talked in Māori for quite a bit of it. And it was like this judge, and he was called Timothy something or other. And he brought us on a tour through his mechatronics, his computer science lab.
At Canterbury University.
Yeah. We also had a tour at the mechatronics lab and one at the design thinking lab as well as part of our visit to the hall.
When they did the presentation at the Aquabots tournament, we didn't know Timothy at that stage. He was the judge. But they asked him a question about his work and he presented them with a problem he was having and they came up with a solution for him for his multi-million dollar.
He had all these like fancy robots and stuff that were like five times the size of ours that went and like investigated the muscle farm holes and stuff. And we're just like, oh yeah, you can just use this and that. And he said that his bot would keep on moving and he couldn't investigate the muscle line. So I think mine was, I told him to get a trolling motor and get a few of them, just put them all around it, and then it would troll them in place even in moving water. And my mates had other ideas and he was like, oh my gosh, that's so nice. And Mum was even happier about that. Nelly got me two sprites.
A two sprite day. Whoa.
Yeah, it was a pretty good day. Two sprites and jelly beans. I was pretty happy.
And so Timothy was so impressed with the kids, he asked us to bring them into his lab at computer science department. And so we went in there on our way to the airport and had an hour with him looking at the projects that he's doing. And it was amazing, hey, Jack?
Yeah, it was pretty amazing.
It was real cool because the kids through Canterbury University, the three different departments they went to, these guys made so much effort to help them see that they belonged in the space. So every one of those kids knows that they belong in the space. And yeah, it was just such a worthwhile experience.
Tell me about this presentation. You did that partly in Tereo.
Yep.
Well done.
Yeah, so we did a couple of my mates. They're Māori as well, but they didn't know their pepeha yet. We were going to get them to learn it, but one of them couldn't get his parents like tell him what it was because his parents didn't know. And we were just like, oh well, Jack can do the whole Māori bit. And I did most of the English as well because I just like do so many presentations, so much public talking because Mum like gets me to do it. So I just like led the entire thing on accident. And I was like, I accidentally said a couple of their lines. It's right there. So we had three computers, one for the teachers to look at, one for the judge to look at, and those two were the basic version with key points. And then I made it so my computer was offline, and I made my own edits where it's like what to say and all that, because my mates were very scared and like terrified of public speaking for some reason, because it was just like in a little room with a little judge. And yeah, I got them to do it properly. I taught them like how to breathe. I think they forgot halfway through because one of them was like hyperventilating.
Yeah, did they manage to find a judge that could understand Tarot?
Nah, he was the whitest white guy from White Guyville, actually.
There was a Māori judge, but she was busy with one of the groups that was doing theirs fully in Māori. So Timothy, when Jack's team went in and they said, well, you know, our presentation's partly in Māori as well, and he's like, well, could you just give me the translation? So he was really gracious and wonderful, actually. He made it easy for you, eh, Jack?
Yep. It was pretty funny when he was trying to pronounce all of our names, but I don't want to get into that. Yeah. Oh, I'll actually say one. Ohene Mataro, which is the name of our local river, otherwise known as the Whakatāne River.
And that's the name of your bot?
Yeah, it's the name of our bot. And yeah, we got called up and he's like, onomatopoeia. We all had a little giggle to ourselves, and that stopped one of my mates from hyperventilating, but we couldn't stop the other one, so I gave him a bit of my Sprite. And yeah, that was Aquabots.
Let's squeeze in the second of your music choices. Let's have It's Neil Young Again. Heart of Gold, why this one?
Oh, it's another good song. I've got a playlist, actually, of all of my songs. It's like all 70s, 80s. Classic rock, classic, not very much country, but classic country. Actual country music, I don't know, it's like different, unique, I would say.
Searching for a heart of gold.
Jackets. Only slightly too soon to be talking about going back to school. What's happening this year?
Oh, lots of stuff. I'm trying to be like better than last year. I was a bit of a dummy at school, actually. I'm going to fix my ways. I'm a changed man officially from today. And I'm going to be very great, and all my teachers are going to love me according to mum. Yeah, everything's going to be going well and good.
Just imagine all the sprites you're going to get.
Oh, I'm going to be like rolling in Sprite, even Sprite Zero.
Is it this year? Is Space Camp this year?
No, it's next year, actually, 2025.
What is the plan for this year? Is anything big happening other than being better than last year?
Oh, yeah.
Gold.
My Duke of Edinburgh gold. I'm doing that in March. I'm going back to Lava Camp in April with one of my mates, Jess. Oh, I'm on 4% on my watch. Anyways, I am going back to Lava Camp in April with one of my mates, Jess, who I did it with in silver, and all my bronze with. And it's going to be really cool because we didn't know any of the people there when we were in silver and did it. And we're just going to show up, and it's going to be so much better since we're gold. And we get to, like, go with the silvers or the bronzes, and we do their walk with them, and we get to teach them stuff. It's going to be cool as. And for some reason, you have, like, less responsibilities being in gold than you do in silver. It's like, okay. It's like, I don't know, because when you're in gold, you're, like, treated like you're the oldest child. You just, like, don't even get, like, all that much attention. When you're in silver, you get all the attention, but all the bad attention. So you have to, like, do all the stuff. And then in bronze, you get everything, like, handed to you because you're a little kid. But you're not even a little kid because they were all older than me.
So the other thing that's big this year is the fundraising for Space Camp, because we need $16,000 for, because I'm going to go to as a parent help. So we're frantically trying to raise money for that.
Yep, very frantic. We're doing like frantic sausage shizzles, like scream at people because we're so frantic. Like, buy the sausages now!
Buy the sausage and I'll give you a Sprite.
Exactly.
If mum thinks you're good enough, you get a Sprite.
Yeah. No racist guys getting Sprites like that guy who we saw at Bunnings. No. Holy, that's a whole nother story. We didn't like that guy. Mum did a Facebook rant about him, eh, mum?
No. I didn't. Racism is alive and well everywhere, Jack.
Yeah.
You will encounter it for the whole of your life, sadly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's racism at my school.
I know, that everywhere.
Let's go with the questions to end the show. I think we've asked you these before, Jack, but let's see how they've changed. Not that I can remember what you said. Maybe you can. What is the biggest success you've had in the last year?
Ooh, I'd say getting first in Māori was pretty good, but also, I mean, I thought I was pretty successful when Mum was, like, offering me Sprites just out of nowhere. She's just like, Jack, you deserve a Sprite. But also another cool thing was I finished my bronze this year. Oh no, not this year, actually last year, but like at the end of the year, so it's like different. I'm going into the North Island Secondary Schools Enduro mountain bike champs at the Redwoods. It's a lot of words for just enduro race at the Redwoods.
What's an enduro? An enduro means you have to go up and down, is it?
Yeah. And XC, I don't know, this may annoy some people, but XC is the most terrible thing ever.
Cross country, like, is the other option.
Yeah, XC is cross country.
Yeah.
Yeah, so XC is like so dumb. You just like ride up the hills and there's people in like $17 million bikes riding past you because they weigh like 2 kilos. And I actually felt one of the bikes, Bailey Fredrickson, his bike weighs 4 kilos. That's like insane, and it's a full suspension too.
Yeah, we can't afford one of those bikes.
Oh no!
So it's cross like country 10,000 more in the national in the secondary schools champs, you get to choose between downhill, cross country, and enduro. But Jack is a happier enduro rider.
What's the difference between cross country and enduro?
So cross country, it's uphill and flat and boring tracks that people go like really fast on. They're like, oh my gosh, guys, I need my Gatorade break.
But you ride for basically 2 hours without a break.
Yeah. It's so they have like hard. Really big legs and really bad tan lines.
And yeah, cross country, is cross country shorter?
No, that's the cross country.
Oh,
enduro,
I see.
Which Jack goes in is... Explain enduro.
Enduro is uphill and downhill, but what I like about it is it's mostly good downhill, like actual good stuff. Like in lacrosse country, I guess there are like a couple downhill parts, but they're not actual good tracks. They're like grade threes and twos, which are boring because they need all the like fellas that only know how to ride up hills at like 40 million miles an hour. But can't ride downhills at 40 million miles an hour.
So, but Jack's two, there's two teams, Whakatane High School's putting in two teams in the relay, and the relay is on the cross-country trail. So yeah. They've all got to go and ride the cross-country trail anyway. But
it's going to be sucky, but we don't have to do the whole thing, do we?
You have to do the whole thing, but only once instead of twice.
Oh, yeah, once instead of twice, so that's like maybe the...
It's half as bad.
Half as bad.
Jack, what's your superpower?
Actually, that's a really good question. Oh, I'm really good at this one thing. It's helping people not be depressed. Since I'm very lively and I offer them sprites, of course. You just gonna like be nice to everyone and then they won't be emo or anything. And then they're like, oh my God, thanks, Jack. And I'm like, no problem. Yeah.
So do you consider yourself to be an activist?
Yep.
Why is that?
Yeah, honestly, so. Mum reckons I am, so I reckon I am too. Mum's pretty smart. She's genuine. She actually like knows lots of things. It's crazy. I just like go down the hallway and I'm like, hey, Mum, do you know this random thing? Like just so random. It's the most random thing ever. And she's like, yep, blah, 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 blah. This thing is that. And there's so many things that she can talk about. And it's just like, oh my gosh, I didn't even know that existed. It's like smart stuff.
So what motivates you?
My bike? Yeah. My bike motivates me to like be more fit and like to do more stuff. And I like go on an adventure out somewhere and I'm like, hi, Mom. And she's like, Jack, are you all right? You always call me when you just crash. And I'm like, oh, I'm like 100 kilometers out of town on my bike. I don't know what to do.
Yeah, I hear you.
I just go riding somewhere and then I just like realize when I have a quick water break that, oh no, I'm out of water and I'm like two towns out.
I hear you had an argument with the ground last week.
Oh, yeah. Yes, at the Redwoods, I was on this big jump track and I'm just like going along and I'm doing really well. And then there's this jump that's a little bit smaller than the rest of them. I go over it and then I land really flat and then I bottom out my suspension and I go flying on my bike and then I fall on my side and I've got like this big graze that like took off all my skin. In one spot, and we like went into the hospital the other day because Mum thought it was infected. It was like starting to infect, but my body's just so cool that it like stopped it. It started stopping it straight away, and then I pretended to make my shoulder dislocate, and I posted it on my Instagram. Everyone's like, "Oh my gosh, Jack, what happened? What happened?" And I accidentally went on Facebook, so all the mums, like old friends and stuff, were like, oh my gosh, Jack, are you okay? Are you okay? I can like do it on command. It's like double jointed.
But you're not going to do it anymore, are you?
Oh yeah, I'm not going to do it because it like stretches tissue or something.
Ligaments. Yeah.
Same thing.
No, different things.
Same but different.
So what's the biggest challenge that you're looking forward to this year?
The race, actually. My enduro race, that's going to be a big challenge. All my mates are going on it, so we're going to have a good time and ride bikes and stuff.
And being better than last year.
Yeah. Yeah, we'll try our best, but, you know, when it's like, see, I'm going to be good as with my school stuff, but, like, on the bike, if I have, like, a humongous crash, then I might not be as good as I was last year for the bike.
But being a good student.
Oh, yeah, being a student, I'm going to be the most, like, big boy ever because I've just downed 30 sprites in one day.
No, Jack, that will not help you be a good boy.
And lastly, do you have any advice for our listeners?
Go buy a mountain bike, but only if you have a good job, because they cost a lot of money once you start like getting serious about bikes. Like, it went from my first bike was free, second bike free, third bike free, fourth bike $100, fifth bike when I started mountain biking $1,000. My sixth bike was $3,500, and my current bike's $5,800. So it's like getting really high, but it's like a big ass bike and it fits me and it fits someone who's like 6'4". So I'm going to be like happy as and like 6 foot something rather, hopefully. And just riding around on my bike being happy as. I can do good as wheelies on it.
Thank you for that. We shall go and buy a mountain bike. Moira.
Jack, thank you for sharing today your view of the world and your experience of things. And I have to say that it has been quite a joyful experience getting to raise you. And while there is definite room for improvement in your being a student at school, you're actually pretty good. You're okay. And this is going to be a great year, I know it.
Yep.
So thank you for joining us today.
Yep. All right, thanks.
Thank you, Jack.
Bye.
Bye.
Riding along on a push bike, honey, when I noticed you. Riding downtown in a hurry, honey, down South Avenue. You look so pretty. As you were riding along, you looked so pretty. As you were singing this song, well, I pulled in the speed and I tried catching up, but you were pedaling harder too. Riding along like a hurricane, honey, spinning out of you. You look so pretty as you were riding along. You look so pretty as you were singing this song. I sing the song.
You've been listening to Blowing Bubbles, positive conversations with people in their bubbles, their safe spaces around the world. Brought to you by the Sustainable Lens team, which is brought to you by Otago Polytechnic Te Pūkenga. We broadcast on Otago Access Radio every Wednesday afternoon at 3 and streamed and podcast on oar.org.nz. You can find us on Facebook. We had a contribution today from Tahu McKenzie. I'm Samuel Mann in Kaupatai, Port Chalmers, Soyuz Bay, Dunedin, with Moira Karatai in Whakatane. And we've been joined by Jack Karatai Barrett. That was Blowing Bubbles. We hope you enjoyed the show. Ma te wa. I sing the song around.
This podcast was produced by ORFM Dunedin with support from New Zealand On Air.